every Christian, true believer, Christian, should be radically, dramatically, fanatically, ecstatically, grammatically, and accurately proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Confess it daily. Communicate it daily. Celebrate it daily. Contemplate it daily because of these truths I'm going to give you.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at WLBibleChurch.org. Now, here's today's message.
Well, the peace of Christ to you guys. I was told that I've got a lot of energy. So let's shake it up, you know? Oh, that was pretty rocky, man. I thought I was at the Vixen. And there was this band with almost spandex on, and they were rocking over there.
The Stripers.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it?
With Pastor Dan.
Yeah, Pat, don't tell them. Oh. Did they know?
Yes, they actually
They're going to keep him now, even though he, yeah. That's great. It was fun. Pastor Dan and I were headbanging for a night. It was just incredible.
If you can see what Pastor Dan looks like headbanging to.
That's why he needed a vacation.
He's saying to hell with the devil really
he
loud.
He did sing to hell with the
really
devil.
Good.
I'm like, hey, buddy, you're embarrassing me. Come on. What is that? You're a pastor.
Yeah.
He said, well, so are you. I said, but I'm not doing what you're doing, all right? So it is great to be with you guys. The peace of Christ to you. Can you say that back to me? Can you do better than that? Yeah, we've been at camps all summer speaking to high schoolers and middle schoolers and college students. Some of you don't know us. Linda's my wife over there. And we've been doing this for about 40 years, doing that, speaking all over the country. We've been in Colorado this year and Georgia and Wisconsin and Michigan and speaking to all kinds of people, loving the privilege. And it's a privilege to be with you guys. I'm glad that it worked. Dan asked me, he said, hey, could you come? Are you going to be home? I said, when is it? He said, here's the dates. I said, give me the second one. I got to recover a little bit. So I have some energy. So I can scare your folks. That would be good. So it's great to be with you. We love your fellowship. Love the privilege to be here. Friends here. We know that you pray for us and you love us. And go on Amazon, buy my new book. Make it look really good, like all of a sudden, man, these things are selling like crazy. The logic of the gospel. On Amazon, they are more money, but I've got some in the back after the service. If you're interested, you can grab one. So
it's great. Sign them?
If you want me to. Some may go, this is good burning material. I don't know, you know. So it is great. Yeah, Pastor Dan was the chief scribe. He was the editor, and he and I went through it, primarily because I love his theology and doctrine. We connect real well there, and I wanted somebody outside of just grammar, you know, and all of that stuff to make sure that I wasn't a complete heretic, and Pastor Dan will make sure of that. He'll make sure of that. So we had a blast sitting in the back, hours upon hours, going through word by word, word by word, checking the theology and doctrine, so it's great, and I'm just grateful for him. Hopefully, he comes back refreshed, right? Or they need pastors and need vacations. Lynn and I are hoping to go down to Kansas next weekend, see my family down there and hang out and just sit by a pool and just enjoy the beauty of creation, enjoy one another. So, but again, we got a few minutes here to do this. What time is it back there? Is it 5 to 11? What time do you normally go till? 10 after? So I got like 10 minutes? Jerry cut into my time. Jeepers. All of those prayer things going on, which was great. A congregation that prays together, finish it. That's right. Don't forget that. So I love the prayer, and it's good in the Word of God. You guys love that, so it's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. What a privilege to be yours. A privilege to be loved by you, mercied by you, graced by you. We are undeserving people. We give you praise. And praise and praise and more praise. And we want to think through truth this morning. So Holy Spirit, help us. I don't want to embarrass your word. I don't want to embarrass Pastor Dan or this fellowship or my wife. So help me that I don't do that. And may we worship you together in a word experience. And we ask that Christ Jesus in your name for your glory. Amen. So a question for you. Now let's have some fun this morning. Apparently I have energy. I just came back from camp, so it's hard to wire down when you've been with, you know, a lot of students throughout the year. But you guys are young people, right? I love that. Come on now. I know some of you dye your hair white. I don't understand that, but you're young people. You're young at heart. So just have some fun with me this morning into the Word of God. So a question that throughout our weeks, our days, we're asked all the time, and we pause and we're curious about the question. We're not sure how to answer. The question in general is something like this. What do you think about, and there's the pause, and you're waiting for what's next. So, come on, repeat that back. What do you think about? Yeah, what do you think about? Come on, what do you think about? Yeah, now I want you to look at three people and say, what do you think about? What do you think about? What do you think about? Right now, go ahead and do that. What do you think about? What do you think about? What do you think about? So then you come back up here and look at me. So you're probably going, I'm going, what do you think about me doing that? Just to get you to think about what we're thinking about. Some old dead guy, and you know I love the dead guys. Some old dead guy said, if you make people think that they're thinking, they'll love you. What do you think about that? But if you really make them think, they may turn on you and they may hate you. I want to cause you to think. I can't do that. We need the Spirit of God to do that. And I don't want you to hate me, but I want you to think. Now, the devil doesn't want you to think like he did to Eve. Don't think about it. Just feel and do, right? So I want you to think this morning, but all throughout the year, all throughout the day. How many times I was trying to think through it, tried to Google. You Google, we Google. We're techie people, right? I Google. How many times do you think we're asked that question every day? What do you think about something? You know, it's hundreds. Throughout a month, throughout a year, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? So let me ask you some questions. What do you think about whatever? And then you just kind of respond any way you want to, just for fun, just to see if you're awake and with me, all right? So what do you think about the Chinese sun bears? They're brown. Are they real? Yes? No? Some of you going, I don't want to think about that. I've had enough of that stuff, right? What about this? I noticed that on the news the other day, and I don't watch a lot of news, but I was watching a little bit of news, and I was, what do you think about the new alien sightings? For those of you who are still going, there's aliens out there. I love them. What do you think about alien? The alien sightings by some of the Navy pilots. What do you think about that? Are there still strange phenomena out there? How many in this room, what do you think about this? There are some in this room who may still believe in aliens. Or am I true or false? What do you think about that? Come on. Oh, here we go. Let's push it a little farther. What do you think about politics? Let's start a congregation fight this morning, all right? Oh, here we go. What do you think about President Joe Biden? Careful. He's still our president. What do you think about the guy who may be running for president, Mr. Donald Trump? Careful. As believers, we can think this. Both of them need Jesus Christ. What do you think about that? All right, I like that answer. That's pretty good. What do you think about, let's see, we could do another little evangelical war this morning. What do you think about homeschooling versus public schooling? Oh, fun, 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 till her daddy took the T-bird away, huh? So if there are those of you who think homeschooling is the way to go, I never send my children to public school because there's evil there. That's true. There could be evil in homeschooling, too. So the most important issue is, what do you think about education and how should it be done? It should be done biblically, right? Driven biblically. We know, thinking together, we know public schools are not doing that. We know it's a problem. Lynn and I all summer worked with non-binary. We worked with gender crazy. We worked with I'm this, I'm that. We've got young men who are saying I'm a cat, I'm a dog, I'm an animal. And girls doing the same thing, and it's crazy. Nobody's checking body parts anymore. It's a mess. And it's a mess. So, let's go a little further. So, what do you think about? Come on, have some fun with me. On applause. I want some applause now. No, not for me. Hold on now. I didn't ask. What do you think about rap music? What do you think about rock music? Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. What do you think about reggae music? A little Bob Marley, a little CBD on your forehead, and you're feeling good for Jesus, right? What do you think about country music? I got a pickup truck. I just divorced my wife and I shot my dog and I love my Jack Daniels. What do you think about country music now? Oh, there are some good country songs, right? I'll start walking your way. You start walking mine. We'll meet in the middle neath that old Georgia pine. And then there are those who sing. I've got friends in low places. I got friends in high places. I don't want any friends in the low places, right? I don't want that. So we got. What about this? What do you think about the new movie Sound of Freedom? How many of you have seen that movie? Let me see your hands. Yeah. For those of you who haven't seen it, you should go see and support what's going on there. You know, America is the number one. What do you think about this? We are the number one nation in the world that supports all of that trafficking and child porn and all that stuff. Shame, shame on our country. Very shameful, you know. It's a mess. So what do you think about that? What do you think about the new Barbie movie? Somebody, I heard a vomit sound over here. And I feel like it could make me vomit too. Lynn and I were just doing, we always, before we go see a movie, we always try to find the parent guide or one of the guides to talk about the movies, the Gospel Coalition. Somebody, we were having a hard time with Barbie, and that wasn't going anyway. I was never into Barbie dolls. Lynn is not my Barbie doll. I'm not her Ken. You know, none of that stuff, but it's like, we read on the Barbie movie, we should not support that movie as believers. I mean, we went to see the new Indiana Jones movie. But that was fun. Harrison Ford can still walk. That's incredible. I mean, he's 81 years old. He's doing stuff that a 15-year-old can't do, which is crazy, right? It's just unbelievable. But while we were there, we came out of the show, and all these girls were outside of all ages, these women, girls. And they were all dressed up, and their hair was all over the place, you know, crazy. I said to Linda, what the heck is that? She said, it's the Barbie movie. It's all these girls with their makeup and they're celebrating the Barbie movie. I'm just glad there wasn't a bunch of guys with their celebrating the Barbie movie, right? So we got issues with... Now, Linda will ask me, okay, husbands, here we go. Fun, fun, fun. Wives, husbands, husband, wives. Linda will ask me several times a day, hey, honey, what about this recipe? I'm like, yeah, you're a good cook. Make it. As a husband, I'm smart. See, huh? Just make it, baby. Whatever you make, I eat. I love it. Make it. I want it. It's the best. She'll try on clothes at Old Navy or wherever. She walks out. She goes, stay right here. I want you to see. So I stay right there. She walks out. She goes, so what do you think about this? I said, baby, you're the best. As a husband, I've learned a little bit after all these years, right? I mean, she is, you know, she does great, but I'm not going to go, she's the most beautiful wife in the world and all you guys are missing out, because that's horrible to say that stuff. To me, she is, but to you, yours is, and let's keep it right. Not, what do you think about being stupid about that? That's dumb, right? So, or she'll say, she'll make something and I'll eat it, and she'll go, what do you think about that? Well, you know, I try to be honest with her, but, you know, you go through life, and the big question's asked. It's going to be asked every day. Kids get asked, what do you think about smoking marijuana? What do you think about alcohol? What do you think about porn? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? So the big question is, what do you or others think about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do you think about that? So... let me read some quotes to you about some people from some people and see what they think about it. Anybody know the name Nietzsche, or the great atheist philosopher? Nietzsche said this about the gospel. Christianity, the gospel of Jesus Christ, see if you agree or disagree. I mean, there's some truth here. Is the religion of the downtrodden? Yeah. It sounds like Luke chapter 4. The religion of the bullied, Pharisees bullied, right? The religion of the weak, right? The religion of the poor, and the religion of the slave. Now, I'm not sure Nietzsche understood what he was saying at that moment. He was trying to slam the gospel of Jesus Christ, slam Christians. But for those who have been touched by the mystery of the gospel, you go, okay, yeah, right, amen. I was downtrodden, I was bullied, I was weak, I was poor, I was a slave, I was under the curse of the law. I needed a big dose of grace. Amen. Nietzsche, what the heck? Kills himself, right? That's what he did. Very sad. What did he think about it? Bertrand Russell. Anybody else know that name? Bertrand Russell, another atheistic philosopher, said Christ's teaching, the gospel, his story was morally defective. Along with his character, he claimed Christ was a narcissist. He went throughout the area of Galilee and Judea. He took what he wanted, taught what he wanted, and the doctrine of eternal punishment in hell was defective and disastrous to the human race and incorrect. Now, the problem is there are a lot of people in the evangelical community who think similar things today, who call themselves pastors, Bible teachers, professors at Bible colleges. They don't want to teach the doctrine of hell. They don't want to teach eternal punishment. They don't want to teach the need for a Savior. They even declare Christ as immoral and Samaria's. We work with college students. We train them on the gospel. That's why I wrote the book, The Logic of the Gospel. It is a train wreck in our schools, many of them. The Roman culture, the Romans where Paul ministered in Rome, they hated Christianity, said the gospel of Jesus Christ, here's what we think, and his followers, they were bizarre, ritualistic, and cannibalistic people eating their children, burning them alive in evil, sick ceremonies. That's what Paul was involved with when he went to Rome and tried to preach the gospel. Then there's William Tyndale, who said this: the gospel of Jesus Christ is the glad tidings, the good news that God will deliver us from our burden of guilt, shame, and sin, and give us meaning to life and make our lives incredibly more abundant than we could ever imagine. How about that? That's applause. Absolutely. Now, I could go on and on and on, quotes and quotes and quotes from people. I mean, there's a great little website, Evangelical Sola, I think it is. It had incredible quotes by Spurgeon and Luther and on and on and on and on and on. What about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You should check it out, because one of the reasons I'm speaking today, I'm proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm hoping you're proud of the gospel, but we need to think through if we're really proud of the gospel, if we really are. My dad was driving a bus. He had the radio on in Chicago back in the early 50s, 55, 54. He heard a message on WMBI by Providential Chance. He pulled over, went into a church. The pastor there led him to Jesus Christ. He heard the gospel, and his life was transformed. And as a little boy in Chicago, my dad dragged me off to the missions, Pacific Garden, down on Skid Row, and many more, where he preached the gospel with all of his heart. Maybe that's where I got my energy and my enthusiasm, because he loved it, and I love it, and he was proud of it, never ashamed of the gospel. So what does the Apostle Paul, what did he think of the gospel? I mean, we could just say he loved it. He's proud of it, crazy about it. But he went into a culture in Rome that hated it. Corinthians hated it. Athens hated it. In the Areopagus, he battled with the philosophers that hated it. And really, they were putting him on an informal trial that if they could have, they would have called him up on some charges and got rid of the guy. But he was never ashamed of that incredible story, beautiful story, the most beautiful, true, and logical story ever told to mankind. because it blew up his life with grace and made him a whole man in Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read this to you, make a couple of comments, and then give you some thoughts that maybe you can write down and take home with you. So I'm going to read this. You can follow along up on the screen. It is out of the ESV. That is the that's the version Pastor Dan loves. I love, and it's good. So Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to make some comments. I was telling Renee, I'm going to read 17 verses. I cannot exegete all of these verses. I can't go through that. If I was preaching here a month, I would do it. Guys like Martin Lloyd-Jones, some of the Odette guys, they took 5 years to go through the book of Romans. And they had no problem with it. Today, been there, done that, want to be there, do that, get through it. It's really a sad deal. These guys would preach on one word for 2 weeks. We just want to get through it. That's boring. How could you spend one word, 2 weeks on one word? So Paul says this, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It's a beautiful letter. He wants to go there. He's writing to them. He loves sharing the gospel. He says, Paul, a servant, a doulos, that's the Greek. And the Hebrew is abed, and it means I'm just going right to the heart of it now. It means a slave of love. I'm not going to go through the whole all thing in the ear and the earring and the piercing. It simply means he was a slave of Jesus Christ, and he understood he had been bought by the blood of Christ. And his whole goal in life was to spill his blood physically, if he had to, emotionally and spiritually for Christ, because he was a man that was rescued, delivered, saved, soteria, the Greek. Says, set out, called to be an apostle, set apart for the euangelion. The story of Jesus. That word there, euangelion, is coined Greek. It's the ancient Greek, a common word. It was a word that was used by everybody. I got good news. I got good news. I got euangelion. I got euangelion. Nero said he had it. Caesar's had it. Everybody had it. Paul says, I got the best euangelion. And I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it. Watch this. He says, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Christus Adonai. There should be some applause for that. My goodness. He rose from the grave. I mean, my goodness, if we can't be proud of that in here, how are we going to clap out there? I mean, Christians should be walking down the streets just clapping at times. People go, what's wrong with that person? Why are you clapping? I'm proud of the gospel. What's the gospel? It's good news. Let me tell you about it. So I'm clapping. Well, you don't want to look fanatical and radical and crazy with the gospel. Well, Paul did. Well, you don't want to do that. You'll embarrass everybody. You'll embarrass our church. You'll embarrass our pastor. You'll embarrass our family. Oh, really? That's a problem today. That whole mentality came in with the seeker stuff years ago, and it has destroyed the effectiveness of the church from a human perspective. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship, and bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of Jesus' name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now look at this. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be hagios in the Greek. Hagios, saints. I'm a saint. If you're in Christ, you're a saint. I'm a saint. You're a saint. In Jesus, we're all saints. We're all seeing, we all God's children. We all God's saints through the gospel. That's what Paul says. It's not just the Roman Christians. It's the Wonder Lake Christians, Crystal Lake Christians, McHenry Christians, or the world Christians. Those who are in Christ are saints. Hagios, set apart ones. We are really, the original says, we are the divine things of God. I'm a divine thing. You should be able to look at the people around you and go, oh, man, I'm sitting with a bunch of divine things here. Some of you are going, well, I don't think they are. That's a problem. It's us. God says, I'm looking at my children, and they're divine things. They're hagios. They are the poemas, the poetry in motion in the Greek, the workmanship of God, Ephesians 2, through Christ. Paul, you see this? Paul is pumped. As Christians, we walk around, oh, man, I'm just miserable. I'm miserable. I'm a miserable Christian. You don't think he had issues? My goodness. I'm just a baby. Are you a baby? I'm a baby. Jeepers. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve. It's diakonos there. There's diakonos in the Greek. There's huperetes, and there is doulos. The huperetes is the lowest slave of the slaves in the bottom of a ship who get all the poop dumped on them. But here he says, I'm a diakonos. I'm a table waiter. I scrape the tables. I scrape the garbage. I just want to serve. I just want to love. And I do it in my spirit for the story of Jesus Christ, because he served me with his blood. Man, this passion from this guy is unbelievable. If we would just catch a tenth of that loving passion and bring it to our families and our cities, instead of this religious crud and this attractional ministry, attract them with Christ. He goes on and says this. He says, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel, that without ceasing I mention you always in the prayers. My prayer is asking, somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be equally, mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Man, that's a whole five-week series right there. Encouraging one another in the faith, because you're in Christ, I'm in Christ, we're proud of Christ, let's talk about Christ together. Instead of how bad the world is, and how bad our money situation is, how bad our family is, how bad we feel. What about just encouraging one another in the faith? He goes on, I want you to know, brother, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation both to Gentiles and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager, man. I want to come. I want to preach. I want to talk to you. I want to declare this incredible, delivering, rescuing, powerful, logical, loving, life-transforming story that brought me from death to life. Let's talk about it. It'd be kind of cool right now just to say, let's talk about it. Can I get a witness? Well, can I get a witness? For the Lord, would you stand up and help us from being bored? We got a preacher in the pulpit who's way too loud. Come on and shut him up. Let's let the crowd take it over. Huh? Yeah, sing it, brother. Come on. I love it, man. You notice I get excited about the gospel. How about you? You get excited? It was great, man. Editing the book, you know, with Pastor Dan, he and I sat for hours editing, going word by word by word by word. I had done three or four edits that we did it together, and it was great, man, because he and I would just, we just light up, man. We started having our own worship services back there in the conference room. I think we got saved 10 times, both of us. It was just great, man. He's laying hands on me, I'm laying hands on him. It was great. And then he goes on and he says this, I'm eager to do this to you, right? The gospel to you who are in Rome. And then he says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. I'm not embarrassed. And one old dead guy, Linsky, I think it was, said, really the way you should read that in the Greek, the original, is, I am so proud of this story that delivered me from hell, I could never be embarrassed of it. Ever. Paul was a religious, pharisaical lawkeeper who was on the way to Damascus to kill Christians. He hated Jesus Christ. But God, in his love and his mercy, not giving him what he deserved, gave him favor, grace, knocked him on his rear end, and gave him reason to live through the gospel. Lord, who are you? I'm your deliverer, man. From religion, from the curse of the law. How proud do you think Paul was of this story? Well, he wrote about it, but did he talk about it? He went everywhere, man. Like Johnny Cash, right? I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. For it is the power. That word there is dunamis. You've heard Pastor Dan or somebody talk about it. The word that we get dynamite out of it. We misinterpret that, how it's used. Really, it's talking about he's the power. He is the only sovereign, omnipotent power that can change anybody's life. It never has anything to do with man. Ever. The power of God for salvation, soteria, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it, in this story, the gospel, euangelion, the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And with Martin Luther, studied that as a monk. It lit him on fire and it transformed his life. And the Reformation and the 95 Theses, man, got pounded to the room, the door, and it is incredible. He was not ashamed either, and neither was Paul. So, you know, you're supposed to have a big idea. Pastor Dan, I mess with this all the time. So here's my big idea. I didn't give it to Renee to put up there, but if you want to, you could write it down or whatever. My big idea is this. Every Christian, true believer, Christian, should be radically, dramatically, fanatically, ecstatically, grammatically, and accurately proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Confess it daily. Communicate it daily. Celebrate it daily. Contemplate it daily because of these truths I'm going to give you. You're going, that's a big, big idea. That's a big one, right? My wife's going, that's way too big. No, no, no. This is it. It's because it's a big idea. It's a big idea, so I'll give you the big idea again. What do you think about my big idea, huh? Yeah, here we go. So every Christian should be radically, say it, dramatically, fanatically, ecstatically, proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Confess it. Communicate it. Celebrate it. Contemplate it. How often? Daily. Daily. Now, let me give you these babies and we'll be done. Otherwise, I hear at 11:30 the pulpit vaporizes and you're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You're done. Truth number one. The gospel of Jesus Christ rescued you as a person, as a dead person, from the wrath of a holy God. Listen to the words. From eternal damnation, the torments of the damned in hell, by the works of the hero, Jesus, Yeshua, Christus. You were rescued. Let me show you this real quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you got your Bibles you want to turn to, you can do that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. So the gospel, his story rescued you. Now look at this, what Paul tells the church, the Christians in Thessalonica. You got a reason to be proud of this. Proud's a good word, you know. There's an evil side to it and a good side to it. Proud means, you know, you're not ashamed, you're not embarrassed, you can declare, man, I'm proud of that person because of their accomplishments. Well, Jesus rescued us because he took hell, I don't get hell. That's the facts, biblically. Watch this. Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. He's writing to believers. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his, what kind of angels? Mighty. Warriors. Powerful. Rock and rollers. I got a lot of adjectives I could use, but I can't use them. I'll get in trouble. It says his angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not know, obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in us, his saints, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. He's coming. And we've been rescued. Now, you don't got to be an arrogant, boastful Christian in an arrogant, dumb way, but there's a reason to be proud. This Christ who came at Bethlehem stepped out and he stepped down and he stepped into a sin-cursed world for those who would repent and believe, and he rescued me. And if you're in Christ, rescued you. How proud of the gospel should you be? That's it? That's it? If I had a bunch of middle schoolers right now, or high schoolers, they'd be jumping on their seats and they'd be singing, man, let's sing that song again, that rock and roll song for Jesus. Yeah. How proud should you be of being rescued? Delivered from hell, the torments of hell. How proud should you be of one who stepped in and took hell for you? How proud? Number two, truth number two, the gospel of Jesus Christ made you from an unrighteous, dead person under the curse of the law and the wrath of God, made you a righteous saint in your position. We know in our practice, we still sin. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, but in my position, I am not condemned. I'm hagios. I'm a holy thing. I'm a different thing. I'm set apart by God out of his love." When I was a youth pastor, you know, it's a wild thing. You make my heart sing. You make it everything. Wow. When air bands were going crazy and we were doing a youth conference and they were doing air bands, and this one group of guys got up and they took Wild Thing and they changed it and they did a whole thing on Holy Thing. You make my heart sing, because now I'm a holy thing. Because you're the holy one, right? Now, how proud should you? I mean, look at this. Look at Romans 5. Another little cross reference here. Sorry to get so excited about this, but I'm not really, Jerry. It's one of those things speakers say that they just say it for being ignorant, whatever. So Romans 5 and verse 15. Paul says this, again, writing to the Romans, Romans 5 and verse 15. But now this is great. Romans 5, verse 15. So Paul says, here's how you're made righteous. But the free gift, I asked a student going to Moody, I said, what's the free gift God gives? Grace. I said, you're wrong. Oh, no, I'm right. Go back and read Romans 5, you're wrong. I don't care if you go to Moody or Trinity, I don't care where you go. Read the Word of God, that's what you got to do. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many die through the one man's trespass, much more of the grace of God, and the free gift by the grace. Ooh, grace, favor gives us a free gift. What the heck is that? Watch this. That one man, by free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification, to Caillou being declared not guilty. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the aphthonia, the abundance, the overflowing of favor, and the free gift of what? What does it say? It's righteousness. When I repent and believe by the grace of God, the favor of God, I am made righteous before God. And therefore, it's a free gift. It's not mine. My prayers don't do it. My works don't do it. Nothing does it. My intellect doesn't do it. It's a free gift. That's why I'm proud. I'm proud of Jesus. Not me, never me, ever me. But I'm proud of Christ. It goes on and says, you reign in life with that one man, Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, Adam's, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and Zoe life, the real life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made unrighteous sinners, so by the one man's obedience, Christ, the many will be made righteous. Why am I proud of Christ? Because I stand right before a holy God because of Christ. He sees me through Christ. He doesn't see Chuck and go, oh, look at Chuck. He's righteous. He sees his son. And then through his son, he sees me. And in the righteousness of Christ, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and dare not trust the sweetest Chuck. My gosh, we think we've done something to add to this in our little six subconsciences. We've done nothing. That's why I'm proud. That's why Paul says I was a Pharisee, a dead man. Favor, whap. Transformation, whap. Not decision, transformation. Whap that then allows you to make that decision. Number three, truth. Why every Christian should be proud and radical. The gospel of Jesus Christ gave you purpose and reason to live and to be proud of your hero, Yeshua Christus. Proud. Never be ashamed. That's why Paul spent himself and he was beheaded on the Appian Way outside of Rome. Peter was crucified upside down and his wife was crucified. In the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you're reading, you go, these people were not ashamed. Mothers were laid in their graves and their children were stood around the gravesides. Mothers were told, be ashamed of Jesus. Turn on the gospel and you'll live with your children. If you don't, we'll bury you alive. Instead, they were proud and they confessed and they celebrated and communicated even while the dirt was being poured on their faces, begging their children to never turn on Christ, but to always be proud. And we can't even speak about him unless it's in the perfect context. I'm not preaching down at you. I'm saying we just need to get proud in a godly way, a holy way, because we're holy things. You know, I'm a holy thing. I remember when our first son was born. Ravenswood Hospital, Chicago, Linda was in there. It was like she was in a ward with a bunch of women. It was another time, right? Now it's like the women have babies. I don't want to get in trouble for this. I'll get killed for this. Pastor Dan's going to get 50 emails, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, I know babies having babies. I haven't had a baby, and I don't want to have a baby, but it's, because it's painful from what the Bible says. It's painful. But she was in a ward with a bunch of women, you know, and I left her there, and they kick you out. You couldn't stay. It wasn't like a hotel room with chairs, and it wasn't all of that. And I was driving down Irving Park in Chicago as a young man. I had my head out the stinking window at every stoplight. What do you think I was saying? What do you think I was saying? How proud I was. How I'm a daddy. I'm a daddy. I'm proud of a daddy. I got a son named Jonathan David. I am so proud. When's the last time you get fanatical, radical, dramatical? It's like, we can't do that. People will think we're crazy. Drive down 120 with your window open. I am so proud of Jesus Christ. Well, I see that guy in the corner with the sign, I love Jesus. That's embarrassing. I wish people wouldn't do that. These street sidewalk preachers, I wish they would. There was a guy that we're at this one town, Hillsdale, Michigan. Every day we drive by, this man was sitting there with his sign, I can't remember exactly what it said. Do you remember what it said, Linda, exactly? But it was like, you need Jesus Christ. Come talk to me. You think he was ashamed? But I'm sure there were people going by, oh, there's one of those fanatical, radical, ecstatical, dramatical, whatever they are, crazy Christians. Drive down 120. I dare you. Double dog dare you. Why don't we start a car thing? Just like, you know, let's just drive really like, you know, 30 miles an hour. Right down there with the windows down. Just, I'm proud of Jesus. Oh, I'm proud of Jesus. I want to shake my hands. I'll do it in the sanctuary, then go out and forget about it, you know? Hey, you're going, Chuck, you can't do that stuff. Why not? I mean, well, you will look bad. Pastor Dan will get mad at us. I mean, they'll think we're crazy. Did they not think Jesus was crazy? Did his own family not think he was crazy? Now you're saying, are you really asking us to do this? You know, when 9/11 took place, I'm not boasting. I'm a sinful creep. I am, in my flesh. I'm a wretched man. Yeah, ask Linda, she'll tell you. But I got our flag the day it happened, like a few hours. I got the flag, United States. And I was proud to be an American. We sing it, don't we? We blow things up every July. We blow things up. But I took the flag and I walked down Meadow out to 120. I walked all the way to the river. And I walked all the way back two or three times holding the flag. Now, I'm not boasting at all. What do you think the response was? People honked their horns. People stopped traffic and waved me across. People were yelling, "We love America. God bless America. Help America. Pray for America." I actually took the flag and went into the bars in McHenry. What do you think the response was with the flag in the bars in McHenry? People applauded, clapped their hands because they're proud of our nation. You get it? So I'm not saying you guys aren't. I'm just saying Paul was. And every Christian should be proud. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed." I wrote that little book, The Logic of the Gospel, because we've just messed up the gospel and we're not very proud of it anymore. We just need to think through it, dig through it. Oh, I need to just listen to this. And then we gotta go. They're going like this at the back. Get off, get done. Renee's got a taser. She's going to tase me. This one author said, listen, and this is a challenge to all of us. One of the reasons I wrote the book, The Logic of the Gospel. And I don't need money. We don't get money from it. It goes to print more, and we just try to get it out there. This author said, never be content with your current grasp of the gospel. The gospel is the life-permeating, world-altering, universe-changing truth. It has more facets than a beautiful diamond. Its depths, man will absolutely never exhaust. St. Augustine said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself. You want me to start naming pastors on the radio who are pulling that stuff today? It's a junk gospel they're teaching. Augustine says, and Martin Lloyd-Jones says, people like that are blatant liars, deceiving people. Thank God your pastor is strong in the faith and strong in teaching. Another author said, if you think that your intellectual abilities allowed you to comprehend the gospel, to repent and believe, grace will no longer be amazing because it's your story, not the story of Jesus Christ. And that's why you're not proud. Father, help us. Lord, help us. Thank you for these folks and their patience and willingness to listen to a man who is in deeply in need of your work in his life, his family's life. And, you know, I can't help but bring our grandson Travis before your throne again, who's had surgery, and he needs healing. He's a little man of the faith, a strong big man of the faith, really, and he needs healing physically. But We pray together that we would never be ashamed. And like Paul, we would, you know, be radical, fanatical, and proud because of what it's done in our lives. And help us, please. Thank you for this time of worship through song, through prayer, through the teaching of the Word. May you be honored and may you be pleased with the meditations of our heart. And again, I pray that I have not dishonored you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit WLBibleChurch.org.